Baseball is back.
Perdomo makes the play.
And a high fly ball. No doubt about this. Home run Marte.
They're going to send them all the way around. Corbin Carroll with an inside the park answer back.
I'm Ivan Melendez.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Tori Lovello, and you're listening to the T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the T-Backs Podcast, Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. I am your host, GB Diamondback, with some relatively breaking news. It's, you know, a couple of days old when this podcast is going to be going out, but, you know, we're covering it on the pod this week before we look towards the future. And that news is that Randall Grichuk has returned to the Diamondbacks after agreeing a one-year deal, following on from their one-year deal that they agreed on last year. And yeah, that sort of solves our DH problem. So I've got my piping hot cup of English breakfast tea here, and we're going to go over, you know, what this means for the lineup. How are things looking? What do the Diamondbacks still need to acquire in this offseason? And ultimately just generally give you the lowdown on what's happened in D-backs baseball this week. So let's dive right into it with, yes, the main story. Randall Grichuk has returned to the Diamondbacks. Here's your numbers for you. He's 33 years old. Last year, he played 106 games, slashed .291, .348, .528 with 12 homers and 46 RBIs. And as most Diamondbacks fans will know, his arrival sort of solves the righty DH problem and also the backup outfielder that the Diamondbacks were searching for. And yeah, we've sort of seen plenty of Randall Grichuk as it is. Obviously, you know, he's a guy who's got a reputation as, you know, a bit of a like an understated underdog of a fan favorite. You know, he's a good looking guy, he slugs well, does everything well. I don't think there are any metrics where you look at him and you go, you know what, he's actually far below average on anything. So this is a good acquisition for the Diamondbacks. Jesse Friedman had said that, you know, the best way to replace Grichuk was to just bring him back. So that's what the Diamondbacks have done, and it's a 1 year, $5 million deal, which, you know, is solid enough. And that also includes a mutual option at the end. It's interesting to think about, you know, the fact that he declined the option at the end of the year, the mutual option with the Diamondbacks, which would have netted him $6 million this year in order to test his free agency potential and dip his toe in those waters. But, you know, as Mike Kazin has said, it's important that, you know, players that feel comfortable that they can go out and explore what's out there for them to see, you know, what might have been and what could have been, and, you know, be happy that, you know, they're not just settling for playing for the Diamondbacks. Actually, they can see that, you know, this is a place they want to come and play baseball, and that's exactly what Randall Grichuk has done. But, you know, ultimately, it's a smart move both ways. We've seen there's plenty of money that's been thrown around this offseason, but it effectively locks in the lineup for the Diamondbacks opening day. It gives you that idea of stability. You know what's going to be happening, and yeah, opening day, as of recording this, it's less than 50 days away. So let's have a little bit of a review of our lineups versus, you know, lefties and righties as it is right now. This is, of course, anticipating Grichuk is going to be playing DH versus lefties. And, you know, despite having made over three quarters of his appearances at the plate last year while playing as one of the corner outfielders, we're also assuming that it's, you know, Pavin Smith as the DH against righties. Which, you know, sadly kind of leaves Eldrin Del Castillo out in the cold a little bit for now, although he'll be battling out with Jose Herrera for that second catcher spot, and, you know, reasonably we could expect Eldrin Del Castillo to get some DH reps too, since he's shown he has great potential for power hitting in especially the last kind of quarter, last third of 2024. He clearly showed that he was able to do that. He obviously hit that super impressive grand slam and went on that slugging streak in Miami. I was about to say he went on a hugging streak in Miami. That would have been something else entirely. So yes, here's the lineup right now. We've got Corbin in the leadoff spot in right field, and then Cattell at second. And obviously there's potential for Cattell to, you know, be a leadoff guy against lefties. They're always afraid of him having a bit of a solo beat up jump on top. And then Eugenio Suarez, of course, is our third baseman. Josh Naylor at first in the cleanup spot. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in left. Jake McCarthy or Alec Thomas in center field. And that's more likely looking to swing towards Raekwon Jake at the moment. Then it's, of course, as we said, Randall Grichuk or Pavin Smith in the DH platoon. Gabby Moreno catching and Perdomo at short in the nine hole where he excels. Now, D-backs GM Mike Hazen has all but confirmed that's kind of about it when it comes to trading or acquisitions as far as position player acquisitions are going to go. Besides the obvious hoped for departure of Jordan Montgomery, that's seeming pretty silent right now. But rumors continue to swirl around trading one of Jake McCarthy or Alec Thomas in exchange for some late-inning relief pitching or maybe a closer if Torey Lovullo doesn't still trust naming Justin Martinez as the closer. And, you know, obviously using one of Jake or Alec Thomas as a trade candidate is perhaps a bit more likely to consider at the moment, given the fact that, you know, Randal Grichuk arrives. He's somebody who, you know, has mostly played in the corner outfield, but he definitely could play center fielder. There's plenty of ability there for him to, you know, just go and run around in center field, especially at home at Chase Field. That's something that we could definitely see a bit more from Randal Grichuk. So, yeah, Alec Thomas or Jake McCarthy, and potentially leaning towards Alec Thomas being traded, which, you know, it'd be sad to see. Clearly he's a guy who loves playing for the Diamondbacks, but he does represent a certain amount of trade value, and the Diamondbacks have the potential in that back pocket for them to go and say, yeah, okay, Alec Thomas is the guy we're going to go and trade. That would make, you know, a pretty hot stove already. It was already pretty hot. It would make it even hotter. It's been absolutely scalding this week. So here's your little rundown in case you've been, you know, living under a rock out there in the desert. So Pete Alonso has finally agreed a deal to return to the Mets. That's for $54 million over 2 years. Former Diamondbacks from DFA from 2023, Nick Ahmed, is heading to the Rangers, which is their fourth team since exiting the Diamondbacks. Sadly, no, they are not going to the Rockies to complete the set of NL West teams. And Ha-Seong Kim is headed to the Rays, which leaves Alec Bregman and Nolan Arenado still unspoken for, and as far as, you know, the big names have gone. And we spoke a little bit about Alec Bregman coming potentially to the Diamondbacks last week. It's not something I think that's particularly likely to happen, given, you know, the potential that is there, and we especially started to see from Eugenio Suarez in 2024. So, you know, maybe let's not get too worked up about, you know, what's happening with the third base situation. I don't think either Mike Hazen or myself, neither of us are particularly looking as that area to focus on. But, you know, the Diamondbacks cards are being played pretty close to the chest, and we seem to be focusing on, you know, the sensible and simple moves ever since we blew up the entire market to go and get Corbin Burnes. And I think that's the right decision. Realistically, all the Diamondbacks need is that, you know, relief and late inning arms in the bullpen. And I say arms potentially plural, but, you know, maybe we're looking at just one here, and there's, you know, plenty of names vying for everything else that's sort of unconfirmed on the roster. There's sort of that yet unnamed backup infielder spot, you know, the utility man role. We've already seen that, you know, Jordan Lawler definitely isn't going to be playing anywhere in the outfield this year. That's been mentioned briefly by Mike Hazen in his last press conference. So you're looking at the likes of Garrett Hampson, Blaze Alexander, you know, Tim Tower. Those are the guys that are really being considered for that role. So we'll have to see come, you know, spring training, who's looking more likely, who's getting a bit more attention from the coaching staff. That might give you a little bit of a hint as to what the sort of the forerunner for that position is going to be, as opposed to just having to wait until opening day. But the real question, and the thing that's really on everyone's mind now that we've, you know, spent a little bit of money, but not an outrageous amount of money on Randal Grichuk, is where are the Diamondbacks going to turn for that last gasp bullpen arm with the clock kicking down to pitchers and catchers report and spring training? Well, if you listen to a lot of the other Diamondbacks podcasts, and you know I do as well, Jack Summers over at Sports Illustrated has pointed our gaze towards Kenley Jansen, the 6'5" Curaçaoan righty, who's a free agent, of course, went 4-2 in Boston last year with a 3.29 ERA and 62 strikeouts. He's been heavily linked with the Yankees this offseason, but between Luke Weaver, Devin Williams, and co, surely the pinstripes are covered, at least in my opinion, as far as the late inning relief is concerned. And, you know, as Derek Montillo pointed out, Jansen would be, you know, a very Diamondbacks coded acquisition. You know, he's obviously played mostly as a closer, but he could be like a pseudo closer, rotate it around, give Justin Martinez, AJ Puck time to shine as well, maybe give them an opportunity. Of course, he fits the mold of being, you know, a veteran who some people are going to say is a little past his vest. He's 37. And so, that, yeah, a little past their prime, perhaps. But he still brings a positive WAR of 1.3 in 2024. Of course, as a former All-Star from 2023. And last year, 54 games under their belt and finishing 38 of them, allowing 38 hits, 20 runs, but only 4 homers. So very much sounds like a solid option for the Diamondbacks if they can go and find the money. And that, of course, is the question. Like, are the Diamondbacks sort of done spending? Are they going to spend a little bit more than we might have expected them to? What's the situation there? So Jansen's entering free agency off of the back of an expiring 2-year, $32 million deal. So any 1-year deal, which is probably the sort of what we would probably be considering, maybe to give Justin Martinez one more year to develop before really throwing him into the closer role officially. So yeah, 1-year deal for Kenley Jansen, hypothetically, would probably have to start in the $12 to $15 million range. Now, obviously, the $22.5 million that the Diamondbacks are going to be dumping into Jordan Montgomery this year, unless they can find a suitor to, you know, take some or all of that off the books, that would, obviously, getting that money freed up would solve that problem straight away. But as I've mentioned, Diamondbacks seem to be building a team within certain means now. We're not going to go and spend, you know, $200 million on another player. We've got Corbin Burnes. That's the vast majority of our budget going into this year when it comes to new acquisitions. So I think we're probably going to be more likely to be looking at budget options in free agency if we're going to be going ahead and acquiring those late inning relief arms. So yeah, like Jacob Junis or, you know, Buck Farmer are probably a far more likely option as far as people who are unspoken for in free agency relief go right now, because I don't think we're going to be bringing back Dylan Floro, of course, arrived as a veteran arm from the Nationals, sort of late last year, got blown up by pretty much everyone who faced him. I think it was in Houston he had that one absolutely disastrous inning where he gave up 4 homers. I might be remembering that wrong, but yeah, Dylan Floro not coming back, and I was pretty scathing at the time about that. So yeah, not likely to happen there. But then you go ahead and you think about, you know, David Robertson is still unsigned at the time of recording, at least. I don't know whether there's anything brewing super late on that's going to go ahead and affect that. But yeah, budget restraints are an interesting conundrum for the Diamondbacks at the moment. Last year, we finished with a franchise club record payroll of around $173 million. And right now, we're standing at just a shade below $200 million if you're looking at adding everything up. It's, by my maths, $199 million. But yes, let's see what we might be able to wrangle up. So if we're thinking about, you know, relief, the money in the market's pretty crazy. You know, Paul Sewald got $7 million. We were thinking about, you know, would Jock Peterson be returning to the Diamondbacks, but it ended up he went to the Rangers, and he got $37 million, which I think most Diamondbacks fans saw that figure, saw that story break, and were like, yeah, that's probably a bit too rich for our blood. And ultimately, if we got to fork up, no ASU pun intended, for Kenley Jansen, then, you know, I say do it. He seems to be probably the best, if not one of the best options left in free agency, at least. We're not really sure about what kind of trade potential the Diamondbacks will be exploring. I mentioned on the D-backs dispatch when I appeared on there a couple of weeks ago that, you know, somebody like Andrés Munoz and Seattle Mariners would be an option, but, you know, we're going to have to give up a fair amount for us to try and lure him away, because he's got, you know, a few more years right at the peak, I think, probably left in him, barring, you know, an absolutely disastrous arm injury. But, you know, with news breaking at the moment this week that the bipartisan local lawmakers in Phoenix are going to be in favor of local and state funds to fix up Chase Field, maybe that little bump just gets us over the edge, gets us over the line financially. That'll probably include a little bit of extra income if we can, you know, do a bit of renovation, bit of updating with Chase Field. That would be pretty cool. So yeah, maybe that's what we need. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, we had the best offense in baseball last year, and that's not going to happen. But I don't think this year we're going to need to be the best offense in baseball. I think this year we need to just be executing our fundamentals right, really have an improvement in our pitching numbers from last year. Obviously, last year we had to deal with, you know, missing pretty much every single one of our starting pitchers at one point or another. Zach Gallen got injured. Merrill Kelly got injured, only had 14 starts last year. We didn't see Eduardo Rodriguez for the vast majority of the year, and he looked a bit rusty when he came back. Maybe he'll have a full spring training to work through any issues he had last year and, you know, come back and look like an interesting, you know, ground ball, weak contact guy, play a lot more. Obviously, Corbin Burnes, if he pitches like we know Corbin Burnes can, then that's going to solve a lot of our pitching problems. Straight away, Jordan Montgomery, I'm not expecting to see be a starting pitcher on the opening day roster. I think Brandon Fart's going to be in there for that, you know, number five spot ahead of Jordan Montgomery, if I'm honest. You know, maybe people need to look at, like, Jordan Montgomery staying in the bullpen. That's kind of where he finished last year and looked terrible there. Maybe that's something that we're going to have to consider. And rather than, you know, going and spending, you know, $10, $15, $20 million on, you know, a bullpen arm, why don't we, you know, make Jordan Montgomery into an innings eater, which, you know, leaves you the likes of AJ Puck, Kevin Ginkle, Justin Martinez to be those relief guys, and, you know, let them focus on that instead of having to pitch, you know, two or three innings each. That's certainly an option if our starting pitching is going to be a lot better than it was last year. And of course, most predictions have us second only to the Dodgers in the division. So I think, yeah, with Randall returning and then the countdown to opening day commencing, we sort of just have to live up to our potential a bit. It's sort of unclear as to what this year is going to hold for the Diamondbacks. It's a strong roster. Plenty of people are putting us, as you know, definitely in the hunt for a wild card spot before the season's even started. Plenty of projections, you know, Fangraphs have us, you know, top five teams in the National League. We have a strong lineup. We've spent the money, and, you know, fair play to the ownership. You know, clearly there's no lack of ambition there. I think there's a couple of, you know, 1 year deals, Grichuk, Naylor, where, you know, if we don't, you know, do something this year, it's never going to happen. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that sort of develop and play out for sure. Whether or not, you know, we can, you know, maybe mount a charge on the Dodgers remains to be seen. People are saying, you know, that's almost guaranteed to be a 100-win team. But yeah, we're not going to get anywhere near that. But I think there's plenty of potential to be a high 80s, low 90s win team if, you know, things can stay the way that we know they can be. The Diamondbacks can focus on doing what we do well when we, A, establish an identity. We don't have to be a slugging team all the time if we do our small ball and our running right. We play good defense. We know that we've got plenty of fantastic defensive play even after losing, you know, Gold Glove Christian Walker at first base. This is a Diamondbacks team that has a lot of potential, and this is before we even start considering, you know, the outside options, you know, prospects who are expected to make the major leagues this year. You know, Yumin Lin is a favorite of mine in pitching. We really haven't seen too much of Yelber Diaz yet. Is he going to be somebody who starts the season as a bullpen arm and, you know, might have a bit of a breakout? And then, of course, everyone was expecting 2024 to be Jordan Lawler's year. He had plenty of people betting on him for rookie of the year. Of course, he had an incredibly injury shortened year. Didn't really see him in the majors. Was in Reno for most of the year when he was available to, you know, even be playing baseball at all. Is this year that Jordan Lawler sort of has a bit of a breakout? Is he playing second? Is he covering it short? You know, what does that mean for, you know, Geraldo Perdomo? Does that mean Ketel Marte is going to get some more time at DH? What's happening there? Is Jordan Lawler going to be the player that everyone sort of hyped him up to be before everything all went to pot last year? There's so much untapped potential in this 2025 for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I, for one, am incredibly excited to see where it goes. We're going to wrap the episode up there. I've got to say thank you very much to everyone for listening. I also want to give a quick shout out to the friends of the show, which is the Home Run Travel Company, which will be providing travel to both the East and West Coast for a number of different series, number of different ballparks for a great many people in the UK this year. I want to also give a shout out to the British Baseball Federation, Baseball Softball UK, and Moonshot Social in White City for also supporting the podcast. Thank you very much for everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.